when I was in the Army, we would go to these meetings. It'd be all the officers and the battalion commander. And I cannot think of his name right now. That should come to me pretty quick. But he was a full bird colonel, and he could be mean when he needed to. And he would tell us, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. And I can still remember one of his briefings he gave us before a two-week summer camp at Fort Hood. He said, don't ever come to me and tell me that they said anything. I want names. I want to know who it was. And so if you tell me they, you're in big trouble. And but I used to kind of enjoy those meetings because he'd sit there and he'd say things like this. He'd say, when we have a meeting, be on time. And I like being on time. I want to be on time. Amen. That wasn't a problem for me. I, unless something terrible happened and prevented me from being on time, I'd be on time. And so I kind of enjoyed sitting back and listening to him talk about the way he wanted things and thinking, yep, I'm okay there. I'm okay there. I'm okay there. And this message tonight, the Lord is talking to some people that aren't okay there. But I strongly suspect, and I don't know who is or isn't, I do not pay attention to giving records, and I don't go looking into the giving records, but I suspect tonight we're probably all okay there. We can kind of sit there like I did during those meetings with this colonel and say to myself, yeah, I know it's important to be on time, and I am on time, so I don't feel bad about having him say be on time or whatever. Because the verse that we're going to start with tonight is Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. And as I begin to read, the subject is tithing. And just one thing that comes to my mind when I think about tithing is this. First of all, the Bible is very clear. Tithe means 10%. In fact, there's a verse, I think it's in Leviticus, where it uses the word tithe and the word tenth in the same verse, and they refer to each other. So tithe means 10%. If I make $100, I used to go out and I used to do these inspections, and they would normally, on a good day, they'd pay me $175. Well, I knew something, $17.50 of that money belongs to God. Amen? And you know, I honestly, in that situation, I might probably just say, call it 20. Because I'm thoroughly convinced that when you're generous with God, God's generous with you. Amen? So what is happening here, and you'll get a kick out of this if you see it, in verse 7 of Malachi chapter 3, now remember, in Malachi, just got to set it up just in case you forgot, these people have a problem. They're really apathetic. They are discouraged. They don't see, later on in the chapter, for example, later on in chapter 3, they make a statement, if I can read it to you, they say in verse 14, they say it's vain to serve God. The word vain means it doesn't do any good. So what some of them have said, it doesn't do any good to serve God. Wrong, yeah. But that's kind of their mindset. We saw in chapter 1 that they were that way. They were disappointed. They had the temple wasn't like it used to be, and the nation wasn't like it used to be, they'd seen all the suffering that took place because of their sin, and they just kind of sort of given up. And they decided, and it was a perfect picture of today, they had just decided, well, yeah, it doesn't do a lot of good to serve God or to give to God or to be faithful to God or to give God my best. I'll just take care of myself and wait till I die. And that's kind of where they were. That's horrible. Folks, God, you know, that's old human saying, you get out of things what you put into them. Well, it's definitely true with our walk with God. We get out of it far more than we put into it, but we ought to understand that putting things into our walk with God is a good thing. So these people had a bad attitude. They were discouraged. They were apathetic. They were keeping the best for themselves and giving God. If they had two lambs and one of them had a broken leg and the other lamb was healthy, they'd give God the lamb with the broken leg. Or he says at one point, you won't even start the fire in the temple unless somebody pays you for it. They were expecting to get something. And they were really not living a good life, and they were blaming it on God when it was their fault. Amen? You know, the Bible says you may be like Paul, for example, and Paul stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead, chased by the Jews all over the place, and hated and persecuted, and spent time in prison in Rome because he was falsely accused, a lot of time in prison. And if he's in the prison that we saw, it's not a good place. And all the things that Paul endured, and Paul tells the Philippians, he says to them, he says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. And again, I say rejoice. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The word state there means condition or situation. So it's not accurate to say that Christianity is a drudgery. There are challenges, and there are times of suffering. There are times of persecution, and we don't enjoy those. But when it's all over, we have the Lord. And you cannot lose your salvation. Amen? Aren't you glad? So, look at Malachi chapter 3, and let's watch this conversation. And I'll try to just be about 15 minutes here, and we'll be done. Look at verse 7 in Malachi chapter 3. He says, this is God talking at the beginning of verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, talking to these Jews that are apathetic, and he says, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone astray from mine ordinances, he says, and have not kept them. In other words, you've been disobedient for generations, and that's, I would hate to have God come to us as a people and say, you're all disobedient. And so they're going to push back a little bit. They're going to ask some questions here. God says to them in verse 7, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Folks, that's a promise. You say, well, I've gotten away from God. Well, get back. You say, well, you know, I've stopped doing something that I know I ought to do. Well, start doing it again. You say, well, I've started doing something I shouldn't do. Well, stop doing it. You know, go back to God. Return unto me, and I'll return to you. Folks, God is willing to forgive. Amen? He wants to be. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't want to know what you've done. God knows, and God will forgive you. Amen? Just a fact of life. It's here it is. So here's their question then. That he said to them, you need to return to me. He said to them, you and your fathers ignore my ordinances. And we know what an ordinance is. It's like a law. And so in verse 7, at the end of the verse, they say, wherein shall we return? Now, I can almost hear that elementary school student in the principal's office saying, well, what did I do? I don't know what I did. I didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, the funny thing is the teacher saw him do it. And so, but in their mind, sometimes they're so determined to defend themselves that they've convinced themselves they didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you punched somebody and broke their glasses. Well, I don't know what I did. And so this is something that the Lord just brings out to them. It's black and white. Either you did it or you didn't. And here's what he says to them in verse 8. They said, wherein shall we return? What did we do wrong? We don't know what the deal is here. Look at verse 8. God says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Now stop right there. That's God's statement. The word rob means to take something from someone, to deprive, to steal. I hesitate to ask, but I will. How many of you have been robbed somewhere in your life? Yeah. When I was in college, someone broke into my car and stole a bunch of stuff. Praise God. Our house, to my knowledge, never has been broken into. And that we know of. Haven't? When? Oh, that was different. That's the car. Yeah, I had a Mazda RX-7. It was a 1982 Mazda RX-7. And what year was that? 89? 91? Yeah, 91. So a nine-year-old car. How much is left of that, right? A nine-year-old Mazda RX-7. I drove it back and forth to work every day. And we came out on Sunday morning, and we walked out into the garage, and the car's not there. Someone stole it. And the reason they stole it is because when we came home the night before, the garage door didn't close. And you know what's funny? They took it for a joyride. It was teenagers. They took it for a joyride. And then they left it in a field somewhere. in the cassette deck in that car was Alexander Scorby reading Jeremiah. Now, you're a teenager and you steal a car and you see a cassette. What are you going to do? Push it in. I have no idea what they heard. But whatever it was, it convinced them to total my car, and they tore that car up good. And I got a good settlement from the insurance company, unlike the Rongioni's. They gave me more than I expected, and I went and bought a used Honda Accord and drove it 100,000 miles. But anyway, the fact is, we know how it feels to be robbed, to have someone take something from us. You know, God puts up with a lot, but he puts up with it when people rob him. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you remember, had Judas Iscariot as the treasurer, and he was stealing money from the bag. And don't you think Jesus knew that? And what a fool was Judas to think he didn't. Now, I'm going to make just a fundamental statement here and then show you some things real quick. Number one, it's really easy to give God what belongs to him. I remember, I've told you this story too many times. I remember when we got back in church in Salt Lake City in 1986, November, December time frame, and I remember sitting down at the table writing a tithe check, and I couldn't remember how to spell Baptist. I had to ask, how do you spell Baptist? B-A-P, yeah, B-A-P-T-I-S-T. Anchor Baptist Church was the pay two, and I put the amount on there. And I remember thinking to myself, hey, it was probably $100. I don't know. And I thought, thinking, that's a lot of money. You know what? God's really taking care of us, and it's easy to give money to God. It's a lot easier to give money to God than some of the other things that God asks us to do. For example, avoiding temptation can be very difficult sometimes. And there's things that I find much harder than writing a tithe check. And here's the reason. Because I've been doing it for so long and I've seen God take such good care of us, I couldn't imagine not writing a tithe check. It just wouldn't even cross my mind. It's like, look how God is taking care of us. And if I'm going to show you here just the advantages of being faithful to God with your money, it's really straightforward. And you got to remember now, you're listening to the colonel chew out the troops, but you're one of those troops doing what's right. So this is, you kind of get to sit back and say, wow, I'm glad that I'm doing what's right. And then you haven't got to worry about any of this. So here's what he says to them in verse 8. They say, he says, will a man rob God in verse 8? Ye have robbed me. Now they say, well, wherein have we robbed thee? In other words, they're still doing the elementary school. I didn't do anything, and I don't know what you're talking about. And God says, in tithes and offerings. Now, you either do or you don't. Amen? And by the way, you know, it's between you and God, okay? Like I told you, I would not even dream of not tithing. And my wife would agree with me 100% because of how good God's been to us. If you saw how good God's been to us, it would shock you. And I'm not a prosperity theologian, by the way, okay? In other words, we don't give to God because he's going to bless us, but he does bless us. We give to God because, A, he asks, and B, we love him, and it belongs to him, amen? I'm not going to rob God. And tithes and offerings, it's 10% is definitely the word tithe, but it's also good just to give to the missionaries, or when a speaker comes into town for a love offering, or for a, you know, put some things together for a meal and just, you know, absorb the expense or whatever. And I'm just thoroughly convinced and I asked a pastor about this one time a long time ago, 30 years ago. What if I gave God too much? I asked the pastor, what if I gave God too much? And he thought that was as funny as I think it is now. And that is, you know, I really think God can take care of you. But you are looking for God's will, right? What did Jesus tell that one fellow? He said, sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow me, and you'll have riches in heaven. And what about the widow that put her 2 mites, that's all she had, in the offering? Remember that? You know, it's an interesting story. She could have kept one, and nobody would have faulted her. You're a widow. You have nothing. And you put everything in the offering plate? Well, how much faith do you have, half or whole faith? She trusted God. I guarantee you she didn't go hungry that day. And to tell story after story after story. I was talking to Alex. He's not here tonight, but he was telling me that he said, you know, God's been really good to me since I got saved. And he said, I lost my job. I lost my car. He said, I got saved. He said, I got a new job and I got another car. And then he said this. He said, he told me, he said, he was at, went to work one day and he didn't have any money for lunch. And he didn't take a lunch with him. And they were going to stop and eat lunch. And he didn't know how he was going to eat lunch. And he said, a customer walked up to me and gave me a $20 tip. I think it was 20. He said, and he knew that came from God. And I've had times when I didn't have a lunch more than I can remember. And somebody had come along and Michelle, hey, you want some pizza or something like that? God takes good care of us. Can God do that? All right. So these people really are missing the boat here. They said, where have we robbed thee? We don't get it. And yes, you do. In tithes and offerings, you know. Now look at verse 9. Whew. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Just a quick thought there. To be cursed is when someone calls evil down upon you. And the way that some individuals act can affect the way others are blessed or not blessed. Mr. Mendez and I were talking the other day about how generous our church has been recently with Faith Promise, with love offerings, with Evangelist Joe Mark, our three missionaries that were here during the evangelistic meeting. And folks, I'm just telling you, if we're generous with God, God will be generous with us. Just a fact. So here's advantage number one. When you give God what belongs to Him, and by the way, God loves a cheerful giver, right? Then God's not going to curse you. It's going to get more detailed here. That's not that exciting to hear, but let's read the rest of it. He says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. I'll stop right there. Okay, so there's a reason for tithing. Now, they call it storehouse tithing, and that used to be a term that folks used a whole lot more. I can't remember using that term at all in the last 5 years I've been here, but storehouse tithing. The tithes come into the church. And then the church can help people like the Rongionis and like the missionaries, and like we gave a double offering to all our missionaries at Christmas last year. And our church in Maryland routinely, almost every year, would give $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 to some missionary project, or for somebody to buy land for a church. Or, in fact, I think we did it twice 1 year, and then 1 year we just gave all the missionaries $1,000, just boom, on one month. And so people understand that the church is where the giving should take place, and then the church uses that money to be a blessing to others. And by the way, around here, just in case you don't know, and I'm not any business meeting could cover this fact, but Mark Hall writes the checks for the bills. The men, when you make an offering, they count the offering and they put it in the bank. And that's really the end of the story. I mean, we just don't spend money anywhere else. Mrs. Schaefer writes the missionary checks, right? And so she sends those out. But it's a pretty simple system. Mr. Mendez spends money for the school sometimes, and that's a different bank account, and that's a different income account. That's not church money. The school's got its budget, and the church has its budget. And, well, they do cross over a lot. I mean, for example, I teach school, and the school doesn't pay me anything for that. You know, and sometimes when we do things for the school, then the church pays for it or whatever. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is we try to make it nice and tight and neat and honest. And we've got financial records we send off to the bank every 6 months so they can make sure we're going to pay the building payment and so on. It's just all very simple and very honest. And it'd scare me to death not to be honest with the money of a church. Amen. And I've seen people that weren't honest with the money of a church and what they went through because of it. Now, back to you. When you're faithful to God with your money, you avoid the curse in verse 9. But look at verse 10. He says, and I'm going to read this so that you understand what he's saying. He says, prove me now there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's what he says to them if they'll tithe. Amen? Oh, by the way, there are some things money can't buy. Health, happiness, well, a lot of things. And old age, you know, prosperity that comes in ways other than money, things that you need and so forth, God meeting your needs, answering your prayers. But God says, I'm going to bless you if you're faithful to me. And I knew a couple of times in Maryland where soldiers, airmen, well, what were they, mostly Fort Meade, but mostly Army, so soldiers would join our church, and they had learned this somewhere. And they really weren't able to be faithful to church because of their duty and so forth, but they sure would be faithful with their tithe because they'd learned when you're faithful to God with your money, God's faithful to you. It's just that simple. And I believe that. I've lived it. I believe it so much that I don't really worry about it. And if anybody knows me, I'm a numbers guy. I like to keep track of things. And but I learned a long time ago, you can't keep track of what God's doing. God can do some things you just won't ever keep track of. It doesn't make any sense. How can I leave when I went from Salt Lake City to Maryland? I left over $100,000 a year job, and that was 20 years ago in Salt Lake City. That's a lot of money. And went to Maryland and took a job at a church making a third of that, maybe a little more. And we had more money than we had in Salt Lake City. How does that work? God takes care of you. Amen. Anyway, you get the idea. It's very clear here that God promises he'll pour you out a blessing. Now, this is the third thing, and I'm done. Look at verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In a nutshell, these people, they were planting, and they were raising crops. And God says, I'll make sure that your crops do well. Your fruit won't fall before it's ready to be harvested. It's too late in the night to go into the details, but there were some terrible situations in agriculture in our nation in the 1900s. And boll weevils in the cotton patch, or of course the drought that resulted in the Dust Bowl and so on. And God says, you know, I'll make sure your plants produce fruit, and I'll protect that fruit for you. You may have heard somebody use this illustration that if you don't, God can take the tithe one way or the other. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm driving a 120,000 mile car right now, and it runs just fine. And I expect it to run fine quite a while longer. God can take care of you. Amen? I knew an evangelist named Dean McLean, one of the finest men I've ever known. And he told a story. And I've told you this story before, how he went to visit a lady. And it was middle of the day. And he knew good and well that he didn't have any money. And there was no food in the house. He was kind of thinking, I wonder what we're going to eat for dinner tonight. We didn't have any food in the house, didn't have any money, went to visit this lady, and she said to him when he finished the visit, she said, I've got a bag full of meat back there that I'll never eat. She said, would you like it? Big grocery bag full of meat? Well, yes, ma'am, that'd be nice. We need some food right now. Well, I've got another bag here full of some other food. I can't ever eat it. Do you want that too? Yeah. And he left this visit with two arms full of groceries. Amen? That's the way God works. When we're faithful to him, he's faithful to us. And I'd tell you one more story, but I'm out of time. So at the end, he says, all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And again, he's referring to Israel as a whole. That's going to happen one day. But folks, God can bless you in a way that people will see. Don't forget to tell them why you're blessed. Right? So how come, and I rarely hear these kind of questions, but I know people are wondering, well, how come you're doing so good? Because I got a good God. Amen? And how can you have what you have? Because God's good. It's not about prosperity theology. It's just about being faithful to him, and he's good to us. Now, there are trials, and there are burdens, and there is persecution, and there are times of illness. I've had two of them in the last 12 months. I'm not saying it's a perfect life, but it's sure a good life. Amen? Just be faithful to God with your money. And I know some folks. so many stories in so little time. I knew a couple in Maryland, and they would not tithe, and I knew they wouldn't tithe, and they wouldn't tithe, and they wouldn't tithe. And every time they turned around, they had serious financial trouble. The man came to me one time. an attorney had seized his bank account, the whole thing. And his rent was due, and his utility bill was due, and the utility company had come to him and said, you got to pay by the end of the day on Friday, or we're going to shut down your utilities. And it was a cold time of year. And yeah, I told the fellow, I said, I'll help you, but you know why this is happening. And then what fascinated me was, I asked him, I said, why won't you just give God what belongs to him? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. And he never did. Folks, sometimes people never learn. Amen? Aren't you glad you learned? Just be faithful to God. He'll be faithful to you. Let's all stand and pray.